Right, so this morning's subject, thoughts born in the mind. Actually, this one we've talked a lot about, it's mind-watching, but I thought I'd talk about the opportunities that life sometimes presents us to help us with our practice, because actually some of the kind of mental states that we get into in meditation, they occur in our daily life if we watch and notice. And when we use this, it can help when we come to do our meditation. It's a little bit like going on a journey, you know, when you're heading on a journey, you've got a destination. If you've been there before, even if you've followed another route, it's easier to go there a second time. And the same is true with these deeper meditation states. Once you've been there, you can find it again, usually. And they do occur naturally. And the one I want to talk about this morning is that little moment when we first wake up, actually. And if we can pay attention, it's a real opportunity to explore. And it's that little moment when the conscious mind first presents itself. And our awareness is there. There's a real brief moment, and it is pretty brief, when pure mind is available to us when we first wake up. And actually, this is pure sentience, and it's the place we often endeavour to journey to in our meditation. We are going to give this a go in our meditation today. We're not going to have a kip and then wake up. Well, that'd be rather nice. So pure mind, pure awareness, it's a bit like dropping into a completely open, uninformed place. And it can be quite blissful, actually. And when we find it, certainly when we find it in meditation, we have a desire to stay there. We call it the jhanic states in meditation. And this is one of the first ones. And actually, I think one of the reasons why it's such a compelling place to be is because our conscious mind hasn't contaminated our experience. We put so much stall in our thoughts and the nature of our mind, but actually the more we meditate, the more we discover how that word contamination is actually a really good one. Because it starts to feel like that. You want to push the mind away and discover this pure view of the world, if you like. What do we contaminate with? Well, it's all of our preconceptions and our hopes and our ideas and our prejudices and all of that stuff that actually overlays on top. So wherever possible, and I know it's difficult, I recommend practicing in this moment. And actually, the thing to help you to remember when you first wake up is to set a seed in your subconscious mind before you go to sleep. So when you first get into bed and you're lying down preparing to go to sleep, just sow the seed. When I wake up, I'm going to pay attention, and just let that drop into the subconscious. And it does work. People have been using it for years with dreaming, actually, people that are interested in dreams. You know, so before they go to sleep, they say, I'm going to remember my dreams tonight. And lo and behold, they do. That's the way the subconscious works. We can tell it what to do. So here, just say, when I wake up, I'm going to pay attention and see what arises. Okay. So in this tiny moment, this open space, what happens immediately afterwards, of course, is the pull of the mind. And we experience the mind pulling back to the fully conscious world. And actually, that in itself is a good moment to study. We can watch as the mind starts to assert itself, and we see the manner in which it asserts itself. And, you know, with me, I've mentioned in the past, I'm just a terrible planner. I plan everything. And actually with me, when something distracts me, it's usually planning. And that's what I do. You know, if I pay attention, I open my eyes, I've got that brief moment of beautiful, blissful emptiness, if you like, and then I start to plan. And I lay the whole day out, and Denise gets very fed up with me because the first thing we say in the morning, right, what's to do today then? That's the way I am. The process of actually coming back to the world, it really reveals how thoughts are born in the mind. And, you know, this is a key part of my practice, and I really encourage you to look at it because it teaches us a hell of a lot. And what we discover is that every single moment in our perception, there's two sides to it. The perceiver and the perceiving. And actually, we can see in this very early moment, as the conscious mind starts to assert itself, that the two aren't discriminated. They're kind of together. What happens next is they split. And the sense of me and I starts to reassert itself. And then we really start to feed in this other dimension of me and the outer dimension of the world. But there's a lovely brief moment where the two are joined and you can't see the join. So go with that practice, it's very good. And of course, we've talked about me and I there. And as we saw in our last meditation practice, as we delve into meditation, we start to really understand that this sense of me is actually misguided. The more we struggle to find me and go searching for me, the more I evaporate, which is kind of weird. So we go through this process, and if we look at it, we see it happening. We shouldn't see this as unskillful. We shouldn't chastise ourselves when this sense of me starts to take over. Of course we shouldn't, because that's natural evolution. That's how we've evolved. It's helped us to stay alive, actually. It's a very powerful thing that evolution gave us there. Otherwise, we wouldn't have run from the wolf because there's nobody to protect. So let the wolf eat us. So we had to actually evolve this way. So it's certainly not unskillful, but if we want to progress with our spiritual practice, it gets in the way. So what we do is we just go into this little moment and we notice it. And as I've always said, the magic is always in the noticing in meditation. We don't have to do anything as such. We just pay attention and notice. And of course, what happens next is the mind really populates our awareness. It fully takes over. And as the Chinese Chan tradition describes, the 10,000 things kick in. And if you pay attention, a hell of a lot of stuff gets overlaid. All of our history systems in our bodies and our minds kick in. All of our habits, prejudices, deeply held religious beliefs, it all kicks in and overlays and gets in the way. And what we tend to do then is actually hone on to particular mental objects and fully elaborate them. So there might be 10,000 things arising, but we zone in on a few of them that we're particularly habitually practice with. For me, that's planning. So this process from pure awareness through the evolution of self and to the overlay of the 10,000 things happens very quickly. but we can still study and we can still intervene. And the key to this is that flash of sentience, that first moment, before we really start to introduce and overlay and contaminate. And actually, if we can keep at that point, we can really start to make progress. And then we start to stretch out the time we can stay in that place through practice. So it is about intervening. So there is something we do. That won't happen in one sitting. We have to peel away evolution in a sense here. Certainly the evolution that's gone on in our own lives, and our mind evolves all the time. But maybe even evolution that happened before we were born. But you will find, even early on, tiny little snippets of time, if you practice, when a real sort of sense of deep peace comes through in your meditation, and you're able to stay with the meditation subject. So the nuts and bolts of the practice here is to really pay attention and notice the little moment that all thoughts are born. And that's what we're doing here. Yes, we get pulled off by the big juggernauts, but it is just about noticing those tiny little moments. We've practiced in the past, some of us, the practice of the sound of silence, paying attention to the sound behind sounds, the sound that's always there. Well, the same is true with thoughts. You discover that the nature of pure mind is very similar to the sound of silence. It's always there. It's a thing. And actually, it's a lovely thing to latch onto. And it's always sitting there behind and between the thoughts. So the key thing here is to notice the seed of those thoughts. Just notice and pay attention. Oh, look at that. Back to the meditation subject and getting in touch with that pure mind. It's a lovely thing to do. And slowly we build the habit in the subconscious mind and we can sustain it. It's an interesting one, the subconscious mind, because by definition we're not consciously aware of it, but we can see the fruits of our labour, and therefore we know it's being trained, because these periods get longer, and the only thing that does that is the subconscious mind. So this morning's practice, we're going to use the mindfulness of breathing, mind watching. So we'll do the usual body scan, use the word still is a good one actually, on the out-breath. And then we'll let go of the word, we'll just use the breath whenever we need to pull ourselves back. And we'll just pay attention to mental objects, particularly that tiny little moment when the thoughts are being born in the mind. And go as early as you can with that one. And the moment they start to take hold, come back to the breath and let it anchor you. And then mind watch again. Okay. So you are going to be kind of switching yourself between just pure mind watching and the breath. Just using the breath to anchor you in. Does that make sense? Jerry, this one's for you. Hope you enjoy it. Okay, so settling down. So first of all, really set a deep intent to stay with the practice. To return to the meditation subject when the mind wanders, and to stay with it as long as we can. And just becoming comfortable in the surroundings, tuning in to the space around, settling in, feeling the ground support you. letting go of all that stuff that pulls us back outside. For the next half hour or so, it doesn't matter. We have a job to do, to sit and meditate. Gently taking our awareness into our feet. Feeling everything. All of the sensations. Those tiny little sensations of energy that appear on the surface of the skin or inside. They're born and they evaporate just the same as thoughts do. Travelling across the surface, the sole of the foot over the heel. And working up through the ankle bones. Coming up into the shins and the calf muscles. Any tension we find, just let it go, let it melt out. And we work up into the knees. Just developing a little habit of paying attention all the time, keeping our mind centered wherever we've got to in the body. Up along the thighs, hamstrings. Just noticing as you travel. And up into the sitting bones. Sinking into the seat, really letting go. Or letting gravity pull you down. Perhaps with each out-breath, just letting go a little more, feeling heavier. Allow the head to float up, easing out the spine and bringing strength into the posture. As you do that, gently reaffirm that intent to stay with the practice. Fresh awareness in the mind. And come into the stomach and heart space, seat of our emotions. And just experience how you feel. Just letting the emotions be, the physical sensation of them, not the story, just the nature of them, sitting in the body. And the awareness travels up into the shoulders. Really tuning in for tension here. And let it melt out. Our awareness awareness travels down our upper arms. Into and over the elbows. Forearms. And into the hands and the fingers. And here again, just take a moment to feel the sensations as they're all firing up. The nature of those very, very similar to the way thoughts are born in the mind. When we come up to the head, just explore the surface of the head, the scalp. Sensations are very subtle here, so we really have to tune in, feeling as much as we can. And then into the face. Letting tension melt away. Gentle smile behind the eyes. And on the lips, reducing tension in the jaw. Letting everything go. And we bring all of these sensations together in the body. Feeling everything, as well as our emotions. Sitting in this space with friends. Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya. Namo Sanghaya, Namo Nama, Hum. Anapanasati, mindfulness of breathing. Bring your awareness gently to the breath. Don't change it in any way. Just notice it come and go, wherever you can most feel it, in the tummy, back of the throat, or the tip of the nose, whichever works best. And just gently center your awareness and concentration there. And as you breathe, on each out-breath, just gently letting the word still echo in the mind with the out-breath. Bringing that sense of stillness into the body. still. Just the breath for now. Nothing else matters. Mind centered on the breath, still. Now we let go of the word and just sit, noticing mental and mind objects as they arise, trying to catch the earliest moment in the mind when they start to grow. To pull ourselves back to the present moment, we use the breath whenever we need to. Getting in touch with the space between the thoughts. The purity of our open mind. Gently, we teach and train our minds that it's unnecessary to pay attention to thoughts. We can just let them go and rest in pure mind. When thoughts pull us away, we can notice that sense of me or I that are present under the surface of them, noticing it with interest, and come back to the breath. Let go. Gently, we encourage and stretch out these moments between our thoughts, relaxing in pure mind. honing and really concentrating our awareness on the space between thoughts and the nature of that experience. When I look into the space between thoughts, I discover there is no me. Me or I, that's present in thoughts. Between them, that's not present in pure mind. Gently we relax our concentration, possibly reluctantly we bring our minds back into the room, awareness of the space, ground supporting us, and awareness of friends sitting with us. And we offer ourselves a personal and silent resolution to take this sense of peace, mindfulness and compassion out into our day. Like ripples in a pond, we make a difference. Om Mani Padme Hum. And when you're ready, open your eyes and bring your meditation to an end.